Well, like I mentioned in the prayer time, Pastor Trent is, I don't know where he is right now, probably not too far away yet, but on his way with Jody Shimp and her tea house team, about eight of us, I think 10 of us from our congregation, heading to Thailand. That's where he is, and we'll keep them in our prayers this week because they do have a really exciting opportunity to just provide a need for our missionaries who are overseas right now in their meeting time together this week. So, one of the themes that has that God has brought into my life this year. Is the word faith. Now, I don't always walk around with a theme word, but sometimes God does this, where a word is bigger than just a black and white definition. Because God wants to take the language of Scripture and make it not just a concept, but something that you can live by and experience each day. It's something you can experience God through. I also think it's worth saying that we've used this word to title our church, Faith Alliance Church. The year was 1971, in fact. A congregation of people that decided this word was the best word to define our congregation. The pastor at the time, John Lindner, wrote that naming us Faith was, quote, the obvious choice after fielding many suggestions. Why was this word valued above all others? Was anyone here during that time, 1971? Had a couple in first service. All right. It's cool. Now, it's by faith that we receive Jesus' sacrifice and grace for us. And by faith that we can know God and follow God. And sometimes I wonder, why is all this by faith rather than it all just being in plain sight? I mean, if God is real, like the most real being ever, the one who does the most real things ever, why do we need faith in order to know him and trust him? Why do we need faith in order to please him? As our scripture says that we'll read today, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why do we need faith as a prerequisite to being saved by him? Why does faith lead to a real relationship with God in a real eternal existence, in a real place? The fact that you will be as real as you are today in an ongoing existence forever with other real people. I can't help looking around, seeing all you real people, and knowing that I can say, Alan, we're going to be together forever with God. James, we're going to be together forever with God. This eternity is absolutely true of each one of you if you have faith in Jesus. See how important faith is to God? It's so important that it's the means by which he calls you his own. And faith is the means by which you can identify as belonging to him. That's why it's so important for us to really know what God says about faith. This is the way God has created as the way for us to be in relationship with him. And if this is the way he wants things, then how do we live a life of faith, pleasing to God? Today in our culture, the talk is so much about spirituality, the importance of having faith in just anything as a means to better ourselves. But I think that shows how we're confused in general about what the nature of faith really is. Faith is not the opposite of empirical data or intellect. It's not faith versus knowledge, as if I had to pick one. What the Bible says about faith is actually quite different from what our culture says about faith. See, it's actually unwise to have faith in just anything for the sake of having faith. We all have faith in something. What is your faith in? Today I want us to have a faith that's, number one, real, and number two, a faith that God sees as valuable and pleasing to him. So if we turn to the book of Hebrews in the Bible, chapter 11, we find a whole chapter in the Bible that gives example after example of what it looks like to have faith, and the definitions, some definitions are there as well about faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, found on page 1874 in your pew Bible, if you want to grab that one, page 1874, starting in verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Your different translations say this in a variety of ways, and we'll unpack all of that. But faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance in what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he's dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. It's found in Genesis 5:24. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. They're longing for a better country. Point one, faith is real. I've touched on this a little bit already. It's something that every human has. It drives our decision making. And it's also something that can and should be based in reality. Faith is so related to trust, you can hardly separate them. In fact, the dictionary defines faith as a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. How could you make any decision if you had no trust or confidence in any of the options? Even in scientific terms, with the most careful research, at the end of the day, if the scientists place their trust in their conclusion, they must have faith that they have performed their experiment correctly, collected data correctly, and drawn the correct conclusion. And if others place their faith in this conclusion as well, they are also placing their faith in this person's work. We all put our faith in something. And I'm not devaluing science, but it goes to show the polarity that we've put between faith and evidence. It's a false dichotomy. Faith is not a dismissal of evidence, although it does often reject certain evidence for the sake of certain other evidence. Where there is evidence, there's also faith. Ideally, we should be putting our faith in whatever is in fact true. That's why an honest search for God is not a search to make all our dreams come true or for comfort. It's a search for reality. And in my search, I've come to believe, like many of you have, that God is more trustworthy than any of you humans. I can believe what God says. I can trust what God promises more than I can believe the brightest human minds. Did I arrive at this by evidence? Yes. Did I arrive at this by faith? Yes. Here's an example from the natural world. My wife is pregnant. She's due next month. Our 3-year-old daughter has gone on a faith journey of sorts regarding her little sister that's growing inside of mommy's belly. At first, we started telling her, there's a baby growing in mommy's belly. You're going to be a big sister. And we read books about becoming a big sister, and we told her that one day, the baby would come out. And our daughter had faith in what we were saying. And that faith reached a noticeably new level when she heard the Doppler of the heartbeat. And if I'm honest, my faith increased too. Now, I certainly believed that my wife was pregnant before hearing the Doppler. But as we trusted in that reality, as we hired somebody who could look for the heartbeat and hear it, and then when I heard the heartbeat, the baby became more real to me. The baby herself did not become more real. She was already as real as she can be. But the baby became more real to me as I experienced getting to know this baby's heartbeat, even though I couldn't see her. That's how faith works. How real is God to you? Some of you remember Richard Peterson in this place used to love to ask that formational question, how real is God to you? I take that to mean, is your notion of God vague? Or are you always looking for more of his reality to become more of your own reality? You don't get to create reality. That would be to create a false belief system. But is God's reality increasingly becoming more real to you? Are you listening for God's heartbeat? It takes faith to listen. And then when we hear, our faith increases all the more. Faith leads to faith, just like trust leads to more trust. When you trust a person and find out what they're made of, then you can trust them all the more. You see, when our faith is in a God who's real, we can experience him even without seeing him, and our trust grows. What I want us to see is that real faith comes from, responds to, and seeks after a real God. Real faith comes from, responds to, and seeks after a real God. Let's look at this principle in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. This is verse 1. And assurance in what we do not see. Or some translations say being sure of what we hope for. Or the substance of what we hope for is faith. What does this mean? In our culture, it's easy to read it this way. That to have a confidence in what we hope for is that if you hope for something, you should just increase your confidence that it would become true. Add more and more of your own faith, and maybe eventually you'll get what you hope for. Now, on the one hand, there are unfortunately pastors and spiritual leaders who say, yes, if you just believe it hard enough, have enough faith, you can make anything become a reality. Because they say the Bible says faith is being sure of what you hope for, confident of what you hope for. So whatever you hope for, just be sure about it. This sounds like a great way to get whatever you want. But then a crisis comes when it doesn't happen. What went wrong? Maybe I didn't have enough faith. Maybe I didn't do it right. Maybe I just didn't believe enough. But the Bible actually says in Ephesians 2, verse 8, that faith is actually a gift from God. You don't need to generate your own faith. Romans 12, verse 3 says, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." Faith is from God. It's not something we can muster up. It's not something we can take pride in when we have lots. And it's not something to be ashamed of when we have little. It's only that we're humbly dependent on God. And so it's okay to ask for more faith. But it's not from ourselves. It's from God. We're asking God for more faith. So back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. We have to make sure we're not reading it backward. It doesn't say, hope for anything and then go try and be confident in it. And it doesn't say, be sure of whatever it is that you decide to hope for. Be as sure of it as you can, and if you have enough faith, it will become true. No, God has given us his word. God has given us promises. He's given us specific things that we may hope for. God has made promises that are good, promises that touch the deepest longings of our soul. Of course we hope in them. Hebrews 11:13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. A reality, not visible, but it will be. We're not talking about our own ambitions here. We're talking about the longing to be with God and the faith that God will bring us near to himself. We're talking about faith in what God has actually said and done, that he saves us through Jesus, that he purifies us from unrighteousness. He heals us. He's coming again. He says that he'll have us to be with him for eternity, along with many other promises in Scripture. We're not talking about a faith in just anything. We're talking about a hope that is anchored in what God says, because we trust God, we trust his word. And our trusting him is why our faith is so pleasing to him. He speaks his will through Scripture and with his Spirit, and our faith becomes our trusting response to him speaking to us. Now, God has told us that faith has the power to accomplish things, but that faith must be in him. A faith that works is a faith that begins and ends with God, within the bounds of his reality and truth. Michael Ramsden of Ravi Zacharias Ministries writes, in this way, the writer of Hebrews talks about faith in God. Faith is knowing that God is real, and that you can trust his promises. You cannot trust someone who isn't there, nor can you rely on someone whose promises are not reliable. This is why faith is talked about as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Both words carry with them a sense of reality. Our hope is not wishful thinking. Faith does not make God real. On the contrary, faith is the response to a real God who wants to be known to us. So as we look at chapter 11 in Hebrews, notice all of these examples of people in this chapter. What is the source of their faith? It's not their wishful thinking. It's not based in emotion. It's not based in something they decided on their own was a particular desire or hope of theirs. Their faith every time was initiated by God. Let's look at the example of Noah. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. What happened? He was warned about things not yet seen. And in holy fear, it says, he built an ark. Verse 7 points out that he acted by faith because he acted before he saw the outcome, but Noah didn't just create the idea to build an ark and then add his own faith to the idea that he would one day need it. He started with a clear, discernible warning from God, and Genesis even records the clear instructions from God as to how to build it in an amazing way. So all at once, we can see that Noah had a lot of faith in God. He had a lot of trust in what God said to him that led to take action. But God was the source. It was God who took the initiative to tell Noah, and then Noah responded in faith to a real message from God. See how faith and reality can't really be separated. I can hardly speak about Noah in terms of one without the other. There's a reason why so many of you have lots of faith, and yet none of you are building arks that I know of. Because God hasn't told you to. You see, faith is based in reality. Like it says about Sarah in this Hebrews verse, that her faith was in the promise of God. Paul describes this aspect of faith in Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, not by our hoping, but by our hearing. Hearing comes first, and then hoping. And not just by our hearing anything from anywhere, but Paul continues, by hearing the word of Christ, or reading it. We heard it over and over again in the book of 1 John recently. John says, stay with what we have taught you, which is what we have experienced and witnessed from the source, which is Jesus. We have learned that we can trust him in everything, and so let our faith become your faith. Faith in this way comes by hearing. This is why faith can be described in verse 1 as evidence or a substance. How is faith substantive? When we step out in faith, a faith based in reality, we prove God to be true. When what was not seen becomes visible. I think of Elijah, the priests and prophets of Baal, competing on the mountaintop which God would prove true and therefore worthy of the nation of Israel's following. Both sides had faith. Both sides had faith in their God, but only one God responded. If it weren't for Elijah's faith to set up the altar, even to soak it with water before asking God himself to ignite the fire, the evidence would not have been as palpable. Elijah's faith was the evidence. He took action where he could not see. And his faith was proven to be real. So our faith is not in our faith. Our faith is in God. Putting faith in your faith, I believe it because I believe it, can be a dead end. But putting faith in God, I believe it because he said so, that brings life. Point 2, a saving faith is in the work of Jesus. If our confidence is in God and what he says, then our confidence is in his son Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that God says his chosen means to save the world. And our confidence is in what Jesus has done, that he gave his life as a payment for our sins, not only for forgiveness of sins, but a complete removal of them. So far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, our faith is in this work of Jesus rather than our faith being in anything that we could do to earn salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Both grace and faith are from God. If we believe that human nature is sinful, how then could we have faith in our own merits or works? We can't trust in ourselves. But somebody may say, what if our good works can outweigh our faults or our sins? I'd say God certainly appreciates your good works, but that is not the means of salvation that God has shared with us in Scripture and promised to us. Your faith in your own merit may be strong, but it is misplaced. It is not a faith in the reality of what God has said and done, as reflected in Scripture. You see, the story of the Bible, from beginning to end, throughout all of history, God set up a system in Israel where they had commands to follow, and over they failed. Over and over, animal sacrifices were offered for their sins, all while simultaneously God was saying over and over, I'm sending you a Savior, a Messiah. He will be the one to set you free. And if you notice, his plan in Scripture did not include anything that you would do to save yourself. Another evidence that a saving faith is only in Jesus is that God offers us assurance of salvation. Last week, Pastor Trent read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John writes, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. How could God assure us of salvation if it were based in something we could do? He can only assure us of himself, what he's done. Because the work of Jesus to save us is completely trustworthy. And he's our salvation, while we are the ones who are not so trustworthy. J.D. Greer writes, salvation is not given because you prayed a prayer correctly, and I would add, or any other action you may have taken correctly. But, he writes, because you have leaned the hopes of your soul on the finished work of Christ. My wife and I were talking about this last night, and she said, faith is the key that unlocks total freedom in your life. And I thought, how true. It's the first step, and every subsequent step to walking in freedom in Christ. You have leaned the hopes of your soul on the finished work of Christ. And J.D. Greer continues, in the same way, there are points you can never pass spiritually until you are confident that Jesus will support the full weight of your soul. Faith is the confidence in what we hope for. Our confidence needs to be in Jesus, the finished work of Jesus on the cross, paying for your sin, drawing you to himself, keeping you near him forever. And lastly, let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 6. One final statement about faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This highlights another way that faith is pleasing to God, which is when we earnestly seek him. We've talked about responding in faith when we hear from God or read his word, but what if you haven't heard or read a promise from God for your specific situation? What if you don't know what the outcome will be? Maybe you don't know what you believe. These are not the moments to run ahead and solve things on your own while ignoring God, or forge your own opinion just for the sake of resolving a tension. There are times where, in faith, we earnestly seek him. And he rewards us for doing so, because God knows if we are earnestly seeking him, and God has withheld his answer, he knows the reward is in the seeking. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews 12, verse 11 says that God is training us, and his training produces in us a harvest of righteousness and peace in the process. Our seeking God when we don't know the answer is worth it. So my third point I've created is this statement. Faith is not fatalism. Faith is not fatalism. This is very important. What do I mean by fatalism? The philosophical idea that we have no influence on others or on the future, but that everything is inevitable. If we have faith in an all-powerful God, sometimes we might think something like this: God, you're just going to do what you're going to do. Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6, however, takes a different approach. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says. Firstly, yes, God, I trust whatever you will do, and you'll do the right thing. I trust in your sovereignty. But here's the difference. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. Jerry Bridges, in his book Trusting God, writes, prayer assumes sovereignty of God. If God is not sovereign, we have no assurance that he's able to answer our prayers. Our prayers would become nothing more than wishes. But while God's sovereignty, wisdom, and love make the foundation for our trust in him, prayer is the expression of that trust. Prayer is the expression of that trust. Some of you may be here today not wondering so much about faith, but maybe about prayer. How does prayer really make a difference when God already knows what I need and what I want before I tell him? Now, there are a lot of unknowns about prayer, but I believe an answer is that prayer is always tied to faith. Our trust in God is precious and valuable to him. And prayer is always the active and ongoing expression of that trust. Do you want to show God that you trust him? Then pray. I'm more and more convinced that our next steps, personally and corporately as a church, are to find more and more ways to pray. It's an act of faith to just say that to you. You mean doing less and praying more? Yes, it's an act of faith. It's pleasing and valuable to God. We can't just go on with our lives and think to ourselves, oh, well, God's just going to do whatever he's going to do in my life, or in my family's life, or in this church's life, with any other thing. Rather, he's gifted us the responsibility to express our faith by prayer. Let's trust God together in this. Let's also trust God in what he says about his son, Jesus, the one who bore the penalty for our sins. Let's trust him, not in our own merits, not in our own faith, not in our own prayers. But let's have a faith that's pleasing to God. Our faith is in God. Not a faith in our own piety, that our piety will win us to God. That's a human system. If it's God who says, by grace you've been saved through faith, through a faith in my grace, God says, you don't trust me if you're believing your own merit to save you. Whose work is it that saves you? Is it Jesus's or yours? You have to pick. Faith is the confidence that we put in God, and our hope rests in what he has said and done. Do you hope for Jesus to save you? Then put your own merits behind you and have confidence in him. If you have a faith in him this morning, it's a faith given to you by God. Let's thank him now. Let's return our thanks to him for the free gift of faith and the free gift of grace in his son Jesus that he's given us. Let's come to him in prayer. Lord Jesus,